Session 15, Five Keys to Goal Setting.
We started this seminar asking the question, why is it that some people are more successful than others? And a friend of mine who's been working in this industry for many years told me a story that I think you'll enjoy and which I found very relevant. He said that he invited, as the deacon of his church, he invited a Jewish gentleman to come to his church, a Christian church, and speak to the congregation on comparative religion, how the Jewish religion compared with the Christian religion. Well, the Jewish gentleman came after several weeks, and he stood up, and he began his talk. And he said, ladies and gentlemen, he said, I've examined your books, and I've examined our books. He said, I've examined your basic teachings, and I've examined our basic teachings, and I've come to this conclusion. He said, the Bible and the Talmud and all of our books say that the two great rules of life are to love God and to love your neighbor as yourself. He said, ladies and gentlemen, all else is commentary. All else is commentary. He said, we've been working in the field of success for 25 years, and we sat down around the table not too long ago, and we said, what is success? What are the determinants of success? And the unanimous conclusion was simply this. Ladies and gentlemen, success is goals, and all else is commentary. Success is goals, and all else is commentary. And I don't think there's anything that you'll ever learn that is truer than that. During the course of this seminar, we've talked about many different laws, the law of attraction, law of correspondence, law of belief, expectation, and so on. But you find that the only way to utilize all of those laws, or the easiest way to utilize all of those laws, is just to simply set a goal. When you set a goal, what do you believe in? A goal. What do you expect to happen? A goal. What do you attract into your life? People and circumstances in harmony with your goal. Does the law of correspondence affect that your outer world will harmonize with your inner world with your goal? What do you concentrate on? Your goal. What do you plant in your subconscious? Your goal. What do you use for the law of substitution? A goal. A goal makes it possible for you to bring to bear all the laws of the universe to help to make you successful without even thinking about any of the laws. That's why in every single study of successful men and women, you find intense goal orientation. And yet, even knowing that success is dependent upon goals, crucially dependent upon goals, we find that less than 5% of the population have goals at all. I once wrote a paper or an article for a newspaper, and the quote they pulled out of the newspaper was, those who do not have goals are condemned forever to work for those who do. If you don't have goals for your life, you're condemned forever to help other people achieve their goals. In fact, in 1953, one of the famous studies, in 1953 at Yale University, they did a survey amongst the graduating class of seniors, and they asked them, amongst other questions, do you have goals and have you made plans for their accomplishment? They found that only 3% of the graduating seniors of one of the most favored classes that ever graduated from an Ivy League college in America had goals. Well, they went back in 1973, 20 years later, and they asked them, amongst other things, how much money are you worth today versus how much you were worth in 1953? And they found that the 3% who had set goals at the beginning of their careers were worth more in financial terms than the entire other 97% put together. Now, this is a phenomenal accomplishment, but it is not unusual. As a matter of fact, every statistic that I've looked at in studying goal setting, and I have been a fanatic on the subject of goal setting for years, shows that only 3%, 1 in 30, has clear, specific, written goals with action plans for their accomplishment. Now, let me say this, is that the ability to set goals and the ability to make action plans for their accomplishment is the master skill of success. It is the master skill. It is the most important single skill that you can ever learn. And through the course of what we're going to talk about now, if you can learn to set and accomplish one major goal, it can be the most important thing that you ever discover. More important than math, more important than science, more important than computer technology, more important than sales skills, is the ability to set goals. Because once you have set goals, you trigger into force what is called the cybernetic goal-seeking mechanism of the brain. The cybernetic goal-seeking mechanism is this mechanism that once you've programmed the brain or impressed the brain into your subconscious, you tend to move automatically and unerringly toward the goal, and the goal tends to move toward you. It's almost as if you've set into motion a whole series of cosmic forces that cause you to move unerringly even though you do not know where the goal is. And we'll talk about that and why that works a little bit later. It is to say that within you is a mechanism that will lead you unerringly toward what you want to accomplish as long as you know what it is. The great H.L. Hunt, the oil billionaire, was asked his secrets of success on a television program some years ago, and he said there's only two things you need to know to be successful. He said, number one, he said, decide exactly what you want. He said, number two, determine the price you're going to have to pay and then resolve to pay that price. But the big problem is that most people don't know what they want. In our civilization, in our society, you can have anything that you want in life, but 95% of the population has either a vague idea of what they want or no idea at all. And by the time this session is over, I'm sure that will be changed a little bit for you. Setting goals is the master skill of success. I think that goal setting should be taught in kindergarten and first grade and second grade, right up to every single year of school. There should be some module and some process of teaching young people to set goals. It would guarantee greater success, faster and easier in life than any other single skill that a person can develop. No matter how old you are, no matter where you are today, the sooner you learn to develop the master skill of success by practice and repetition over and over again until you become completely focused as a goal-achieving human being, the sooner you learn it, the faster you will accomplish great things in your life. Now, an interesting point. Each of us has what we call a failure mechanism in life. The failure mechanism goes off automatically. The vast majority of people fail to live up to their potential. They fail to become everything they're capable of becoming, over 80%. And the failure mechanism is what we call the comfort zone. It's the tendency to fall into a comfort zone, to do what is easy, not to avoid making the efforts necessary to succeed. Now, this failure mechanism goes off automatically. From the time we are infants, we talked earlier about the pleasure principle. We always move toward what is pleasurable, what is easy, what is fun, what is enjoyable. And we move away from what is uncomfortable, what is difficult, what requires discipline, what requires effort, and so on. However, the only way to override this failure mechanism is by activating your success mechanism. And your success mechanism is triggered by a goal. Whenever you write out a goal, you override the failure mechanism. Whenever you think about a goal, you override the failure mechanism. You see, when you set a goal, it releases positive energy. It builds up drive and desire. It gives you persistence. It gives you clarity of thought. It gives you intensity of purpose. And it moves you forward towards your objective. The only way you can break out of the comfort zone is by setting goals that are progressively higher than anything that you've accomplished. And all leaders in every study that I've looked at in the last few years make a habit, a conscious habit, of not getting stuck in a comfort zone. They're always aware. Natural tendency is to slide, to take it easy. So they're always setting goals that are just a little bit higher than they've ever accomplished before. They're always striving, always reaching out beyond anything they've done before. And that's what keeps them growing, that keeps them alive, it keeps them alert, it keeps them bright, and it keeps them successful. Now, we know, by the way, that achieving goals is automatic. You have this cybernetic mechanism that once you've programmed a goal into your mind, you go off toward it automatically. The problem is not in achieving goals. As human beings, you are a goal-achieving organism. The only time you're happy is when you have a goal. The only time that you are fully alive is when you're working towards something that's really important to you. You need that sense of meaning and purpose, that sense of direction, that sense of significance in your life. The question is not why is it that people don't achieve goals, because achieving goals is automatic. The question is why is it that people don't set goals? Now, I've heard for years before I began working in this subject, you're supposed to set goals. And yet I talk to people who've read the books and taken the course. I say, do you have written goals? They don't have any written goals. So I began to look into the psychology of goal setting, and I found that there are four major reasons why people don't set goals. Even though they know they should, they know they're important, they've been told over and over again, four major reasons. And until you understand these four reasons and how they work on you unconsciously, we can't go on to the next step. So let's talk about them. Why don't people set goals? Number one reason why people don't set goals is they don't realize the importance of goals. They don't realize the importance of goals. Now, what does this mean? Well, it means that you and I are the products of our upbringing. You and I are the products of our parental influences, our brothers, our sisters, our friends, our family, and so on. If you grew up in a home where your parents did not emphasize goals, did not talk about goals, did not encourage you to set goals at an early age, do you know what happens? Is that you can grow up and you can become an adult and you cannot even be aware that there's such a thing as goals out there. In the studies on who gets ahead in America, they found an interesting thing. They found that the conversation around the family dinner table table is a major determinant of the character of the children who grow and come out of that home. That if the conversation around the dinner table is achievement-oriented, success-oriented, goal-oriented, then young people will grow up believing and working toward goals as naturally as they eat with a knife and fork or wash their hands after dinner. So, people don't realize the importance of goal setting. Please understand that goal setting is critical. It is the vital skill of success. And the kindest thing that a person could ever do for their children is to help them set worthwhile and realistic goals from an early age and then give them all the encouragement possible to accomplish those goals. Second reason why people don't set goals, see if this applies to you, is they don't know how. Surprisingly enough, and when I started studying this subject, I found that everybody said to set goals. Very important to set goals. Got to set goals, got to have goals, got to put a timeline on goals. But the fact is that there were no really good goal-setting methodologies. And in this course, I'm going to teach you a goal-setting methodology that is absolute dynamite, considered one of the best goal-setting methodologies that anybody's ever seen. But if you don't know how to set goals, I can tell you how to set goals, to tell you to set goals all day, and it wouldn't do you any good. You can go through 12 to 15 years of school in our society and never get 1 hour on goal-setting. Imagine 12 to 15 years. I have taken a postgraduate degree in business from a major university, and never once did they spend 1 hour talking about how to set and achieve goals. Never once did they discuss the master skill of success. Well, after this course, you're going to know how to set goals. So that won't be a problem. Now, the third reason why people don't set goals, and this is in order of increasing importance, is fear of rejection. The fear of rejection, as we talked about before. One of the most profound and powerful fears in our life is the fear of being criticized or ridiculed by other people. And every one of us, as children, when we were young, we said, I want to do this, I want to be a fireman, I want to go here, I want to go there. And we had somebody saying, ah, that's stupid, or you can't accomplish that, or don't be silly, or you're too small, and so on. And what we learned at a very early age is that if we talked about a goal or something that we wanted that was bigger than we were, the most important people in our lives would ridicule us and would criticize us and make us feel bad and small. So unconsciously, we made a decision, if you want to get along, you've got to go along, so we don't talk about our goals. That way, nobody criticizes us. Now, as adults, we fall into the trap, an unconscious habit, we fall into the trap of not setting goals at all and not talking about goals and not thinking about goals, then nobody can criticize you. And I will tell you this, that 80-90% of the people around you, if you decide you're going to do anything from finding a new parking spot to finding a new job or a new marriage, they will tell you that it can't be done. They'll tell you all the reasons and they'll line them up and they'll try to discourage you from doing anything different than you're doing. So here's the key. Keep your goals confidential. Keep goals confidential. Don't discuss your goals with anybody. Except that the great majority of people are threatened by anybody who has a goal. They're worried. It makes them feel inferior and inadequate because they don't have goals of their own. So only discuss your goals with people who also have goals of their own. Discuss them with the people close to you whose help you need to accomplish them. But just don't discuss your goals with people at random and don't give them a chance to shoot the goals down. Now, the fourth reason why people don't set goals. This is the top of the list. This is the worst of all. It's our old friend, our old enemy, if you like, fear of failure. The fear of failure is the number one reason why people fail in adult life. The fear of failure, the fear that I can't. I might lose my money. I might lose my time. I might lose my investment. I can't. It causes us to become tense and stressed. It causes our heart to pound and our stomach to churn. This fear of failure is the number one reason why people underachieve and fail in life. It's because the fear of failure holds them back from ever trying. And the reason why people fear failure is they don't understand failure. They don't understand this critical point. If you can understand this point, it can turn your whole attitude around. It's simply this, is that it's impossible to succeed without failing. That failure is an indispensable part of success. Failure is essential to success. That if you avoid failing, you cannot succeed. That every single great success in human history has been a failure up until the moment of their success. That the key to success is to fail and fail in a forward direction, is to continue to learn from everything that goes wrong. To every setback, every obstacle, every disappointment, step back and say, What can I learn from this situation? Use the law of substitution and derive a valuable lesson from every single failure. Remember we talked about the becoming an inverse paranoid, confident expectations? Every time something goes wrong, look into it and say, now, I wonder why this is happening to help me. And you'll find that in every single setback or disadvantage, as Napoleon Hill said in his book, there's a valuable lesson, an opportunity, or a benefit that you can find if you look for it. That successful people, leaders, are people who never use the word failure. They never think of the word failure. Thomas J. Watson, the founder of IBM, was once asked by a young man, he said, Mr. Watson, what can I do to be more successful? And Watson said, without hesitating, he said, double your failure rate. Double your failure rate. Why? It's because if you look at the life stories of successful men and women, if you look at the life story of a person like Thomas Edison, one of the greatest failures in history. Thomas Edison, in the course of his lifetime, patented 1,052 devices at the U.S. Patent Office. Over 1,000 of those devices were actually turned into commercial products that made enormous amounts of money. Watson, or Edison, was also the greatest failure in the history of invention. He failed 17,000 times to come up with a plant that from which natural latex could be drawn. He failed thousands of times in other experiments. He failed over 11,000 times in his attempt to come up with a filament for the electric light bulb. After he had failed 5,000 times, and it was in the newspaper, it was called Edison's Folly, this attempt to somehow light the world with an incandescent light bulb. Everybody knew the world. People were supposed to light their way through the world with a kerosene lantern. A reporter came to him, young reporter, said, Mr. Edison, why do you persist in spending all of this time and money after you failed 5,000 times? And Edison said, young man, he said, you don't understand how the world works. He said, I haven't failed at all. He said, I've just successfully discovered 5,000 ways that will not work. He said, that puts me just 5,000 ways closer to the way that will work. It was over 11,000 experiments before he found the tungsten, or the carbon impregnated filament that lit the first electric light bulb and changed the world. Colonel Sanders went to over 1,000 restaurants. A 66-year-old man went to over 1,000 restaurants to try to sell his recipe initially before he found one restaurant that would pay him a 5-cent a chicken royalty. But he kept on. Would you keep on after 100, 200, 500, 1,000 people had told you no? Sanders did, and became one of the richest and most well-known and most respected men in America. So you have to understand that success and failure go hand in hand, that wherever there is a possibility for success, there's also the possibility for failure. There is nothing wrong with failing as long as you learn from every lesson. And remember, if you have a certain number of failures that you have to go through in order to learn the lessons and gain the experience in order to achieve your great success, the sooner you do it, the faster you get on with it, the more mistakes you make, the more times you fall on your face and pick yourself up and learn from it, the faster you're going to achieve what you're capable of achieving. All right, this brings us to the second part of goal setting. And these are what I call the five keys. Now, these five keys are five key parts of the process of goal setting for you to keep in mind on a regular basis. The first key part, number one, is this, is that the scariest thing in human life today is change. We know, however, that change is inevitable, that change is a part of progress, that there's no progress without change, that your life cannot even improve with change. We know that change is scary. And there's a natural tendency, what we call homeostasis, there's a natural tendency for people to resist change, to push it back, to avoid it, to dig in their heels, to get into that comfort zone. And as I've said before, the comfort zone is the greatest single enemy of human potential. Change is scary unless it is goal-directed. Unless it is goal-directed. And this is the key, is that we can overcome this persistent, unconscious fear of change by one simple technique, is by taking control of it. Remember we said that the law of control is the critical law of human harmony, that you only feel positive about yourself to the degree to which you feel you are in control of your own life? Well, goals allow us to control the direction of change. We know that life never goes on in a straight line for any period of time. Life is either getting better and improving, or life is getting worse and deteriorating. That just happens to be the fact. However, when we set goals, we can control the direction of change. And controlling the direction of change is the key to our success. So that all everything that happens in our life is goal-directed. It is toward something that we want. It is toward improvement. It is in the direction of our highest ideals rather than random. See, nobody fears change if it's in the direction of something that they want. The only change that we fear is change that leaves us worse off than we were before. Now, this brings us to our second key concept in goal setting. It's what we call the area of excellence. Now, the area of excellence concept is very simple. What it says is that everybody has talents that rotate around the average. These are average talents. So we are better at cooking, better, worse at math, better at communicating, worse at selling, better at speaking, worse at history, and so on. We all have talents, but it also says that every one of us has talents somewhere that are in the exceptional range. That every single human being has an area of excellence in which they are extremely capable if they can find it. That every single person, we'll talk about this earlier, has genius in some area. And one of the great jobs of adult life is to find your area of excellence and to throw your whole heart and soul into that area of excellence and into becoming very good in the area where you have unique gifts and abilities. For instance, three keys to your area of excellence. Three critical keys. Number one is attention. Attention, the things that hold your attention, are a very, very good indicator of where your area of excellence might be. What do you like to read about? What do you like to talk about? What do you like to think about? What do you like to study? What do you like to learn more about? Also, interest. What are you interested in? What has held you or been a fascinating subject for you throughout your life? Sometimes we are programmed internally to be interested and drawn towards things that are the very best for us. And finally, absorption. What could you become totally absorbed in? What absorbs your attention completely? When you're working at it, when you're thinking about it, when you're reading about it, it absorbs your attention completely. Attention, interest, and absorption are the three keys to finding your area of excellence. And one of the most important responsibilities of adult life is to find your area of excellence. Because until you do that and commit yourself to it, you will never achieve your full potential. And everybody has an area of excellence. Now, the next key, number three, area of excellence is number two. Next key is what we call acres of diamonds. And the acres of diamonds theory comes from a story about an old farmer who went off seeking diamonds in Africa, sold his farm, wrapped up everything, went off seeking diamonds, ran out of money, and finally died poor, impoverished, and alone. And meanwhile, back on his farm, the new owner went out and discovered some of the biggest diamonds in history. The Acres of Diamonds philosophy says that under your own feet, right now, in almost all cases, is everything that you're looking for. Right now, contained within your own talents, your own abilities, your own experience, your own wisdom, your own knowledge, your industry, your family, your contacts, that somewhere, right now, under your own feet, is the opportunity that you're looking for. You don't have to go across the world. You don't have to move to another city. You don't have to change. All you have to do is mine your own acres of diamonds. But the interesting thing is that diamonds don't look like diamonds in their rough form. Diamonds or opportunities always come disguised as hard work. The reason why people are always looking somewhere else is because they don't recognize that your great opportunities always come disguised as hard work, and they take a tremendous amount of work and effort to develop and to realize. So look under your own feet for your acres of diamonds. Look into your own unique talents for your area of excellence. Absolutely critical to goal setting. Now, the fourth is the importance of balance. In life, in order to be truly successful, you must have balanced goals. You can't have just goals that are all money. You can't have goals that are all in any one direction. You need a balance of goals, and here are the three key areas. Number one is you need personal and family goals. Now, your personal and family goals are the goals that, more than anything else, determine the quality of your emotional life, determine how good you feel about yourself and life. And your personal and family goals, you need about 3 to 5. These are the reasons why. These are the why of your life. This is why you're alive in the first place, which is to achieve a life that is significant and important and pleasurable to you. And you must never sacrifice these for anything else. The second set of goals are business and career goals. Now, your business and career goals are the way that you earn the wherewithal. They're the way that you fulfill your potential as a productive member of society. They're the way you make a contribution. These are the what goals. But remember, these are not as important as the why. The natural tendency for us, if we're not careful, is we get so caught up in the what, the business and career goals, that we forget the personal and family, which are the reasons why we started in the first place. And you need 3 to 5 goals in the business and career area. And number 3 is the self-improvement goals. Now, self-improvement goals means that you look upon yourself as a do-it-to-yourself project. It means that you look into yourself as a person who has infinite capacity, but it has to be developed. And you need 3 to 5 self-improvement goals, too. Now, your self-improvement goals are what we call the means. Self-improvement are the means to get the what, which is the what you need in order to accomplish your why. One more point, and that's this. And it's point number 5, and that is the need for a major definite purpose. A major definite purpose is the number 1 goal in life. And every single study that we have looked at, every single study that I've looked at in peak performance, high achievement, and so on, comes back to this very simple equation, this very simple factor, is that your life only begins to become great when you fix upon a major definite purpose. One goal, one mission, one goal that is bigger than any other single goal in your life. Now, it doesn't mean that you can't have several goals. You can have 10 to 15 goals going. You can have 2 to 300 if you want. But you have to have one. If somebody were to wake you up in the middle of the night and give you a shake and say, what is your major definite purpose? You should be able to open your eyes and be able to tell them just like that. Your major definite purpose must be measurable. In other words, you can't have a major definite purpose to be happy. I had one woman come up to me and she said her major definite purpose was world peace. And I said, well, your major definite purpose, in order for it to have any meaning for you, in order for it to give purpose and direction to your life, has to be under your own control. It has to be measurable. It has to be specific. It has to be tangible. It has to be something that you can do or have or be. It has to be something that when you've accomplished it, you can look at it and say, here it is, it's achieved. It can't be something nebulous, because setting a big, broad, unbounded goal is a way that we trick ourselves into setting no goals at all. Now, with regard to your major definite purpose and your other goals, 2 points. You can have tangible and intangible goals. In other words, you can have qualitative goals that have to do with the quality of your life, and you can have quantitative goals or tangible goals that have to do with your income, weight loss, bigger car, bigger house, and so on. And you need a balance of those. And finally, you need short-term and long-term goals. Now, your short-term goals, ideally, are about 90 days for maximum motivation. Your long-term goal should be about 2 to 3 years for maximum motivation. And your major definite purpose or your major goals should be 2 to 3 year goals, maybe shorter, maybe longer, broken down into 90-day periods. That having been said, I'm going to give you a brief goal-setting exercise. I'm going to ask you 7 quick questions. I'm going to give you between 30 and 60 seconds to answer these questions. And what I want you to do is write as quickly as you possibly can the very first things that come to your mind. Now, the first question is this. Are you ready? Get out a pencil of paper, clean sheet of paper, goal setting exercise. Here it is. Question number 1 is, what are your 5 basic values in life? What 5 things do you value most in life? Number 1 question. You have 60 seconds to answer this question. It's counting right now. What things do you value most in life? Your home, your car, your family, your income, your job, your career, your spiritual development, your health, your wealth, your stereo set, your new hubcaps, your intelligence, your intellectual growth. What 5 things do you value most in life? 30 seconds. Write the first 5 things that come to mind. And once you've written the answer to this question, your 5 basic values, organize them in order of priority. What is the first one? What would be number 1 if you had to throw away the other 4? What would be number 2 if you had to throw away the other 3? What would be number 3? And so on. Organize them in order of priority, number 1 through number 5. All right? 5 seconds, 4, 3, 2, 1. Question number 2. Is write your 3 most important goals in life right now. You have 30 seconds. What's your 3 most important goals in life right now? Counting. 25 seconds left. Write the first three goals that pop into your mind. If you can't think of anything else, write money, money, money. But write the first three goals that pop into mind, quickly. Okay, 10 seconds. This is an easy question. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Question number three. You have 1 minute. What would you do, how would you spend your time if you found today that you only had 6 months to live? How would you spend the last 6 months of your life if you only had 6 months to live? Write everything that you do in the last 6 months. Time is counting now. Write it as though everything you put on this list you can do in that last 6 months, but if you don't write it down, you can't do it. How would you spend your time? Who would you spend your time with? Where would you go? What would you do? What would you want to finish up? What would you want to start? Who would you want to see? What phone calls would you make? What bills would you run up on your charge cards? Okay. In other words, what would you do if you had 6 months to live? All right, 10 seconds. Write everything you can think of. Remember, if it's written down on this sheet in front of you, you can do it. If you forget to write it, you won't be able to do it. 5 seconds, 4, 3, 2, 1. Question number four. What would you do, how would you change your life if you won $1 million in the lottery tomorrow? If you became an instant millionaire, what would you do differently from what you're doing today? If you became an instant millionaire, what would you do differently? You've got 1 minute to write. Everything that you write, you'll be able to do with that $1 million. If you don't write it down, you won't be able to spend it. The $1 million won't be given to you. Interestingly enough, when most people are asked this question, the average amount that they can spend is about $200,000. They can't get their mind around $1 million. But what would you do differently? Good question. Would you continue working at the job you're working at if you won $1 million? If the answer is no, it means you're in the wrong job for you and you are wasting your life. Would you stay in the relationship that you're in? Would you continue spending your time the way you spend it? What would you do if you won $1 million? All right, 5 seconds left. Write down everything you can think of. I had a farmer in one of my courses once. He said he'd just keep on farming until it was all gone. Anyway, number five. You have to be a farmer to appreciate that. Number five is, what have you always wanted to do but been afraid to attempt? You've got 30 seconds. What have you always wanted to do in life but been afraid to attempt? 30 seconds, right? The first thing that pops into mind. Run for public office, give a professional talk, start a new relationship, start your own business. Half the population would like to start their own business. Did you know that? Over half the population, but they don't do it because they're afraid of failure or rejection or something else. 10 seconds left. What have you always wanted to do but been afraid to attempt? This is a very revealing question. Write whatever comes down on the page. All right, question number six. What sort of activities in life give you your greatest feeling of importance? What sort of activities give you the greatest feeling of pleasure, self-esteem, happiness, joy, and fulfillment? What do you really like to do? Look back over your life and ask yourself, when have you been the happiest? 30 seconds left. 30 seconds to go in this question. When have you been the happiest in life? When have you been the most fulfilled? When have you felt the very best about yourself? When have you had the greatest amount of peace and personal satisfaction? What sort of circumstances? What were you doing at the time? Who were you doing it with? Where were you going? What were your goals? What were the circumstances? And so on. Very, very important question. All right, 5 more seconds. And then here is the key question in determining your major definite purpose. Is this. Imagine that I could give you a pill that was a magic pill, and if you took this magic pill, you could accomplish any one thing in the whole world. And the question is simply this. What one great thing would you dare to dream if you knew you could not fail? What one great thing would you dare to dream if you knew you could not fail? All right, 45 seconds. What one great thing, what one goal would you dare to dream if you knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that you could not fail? You're absolutely guaranteed of success. What would it be? Five seconds. Now, in almost every case, by the way, the answers to these questions will spring to your lips. Some people, however, have been able to go through this whole exercise and not been able to answer a single question. And there's nothing wrong with that. The whole purpose of this exercise is to help you begin crystallizing your goals and especially your major definite purpose. Let's look at these goals. Let's look at these questions. And I suggest that you take this exercise every single month until you can pop out the answers to every one of these questions and they begin to improve and crystallize. Five basic values in life. We said that self-esteem is the key to peak performance. Well, self-esteem only comes when your goals and your values fit like a hand in a glove. That the most successful men and women in our society are people who know what they believe, who know what their values are, and they organize their time so that it's consistent with their values. And you'll find that most stress, most unhappiness, most irritability, most health problems, most burnout comes from living a life that is inconsistent with your basic values. So always be asking yourself, what are my values? What do I believe in? And make sure that your outer life is consistent with your inner life. It's the key to peak performance, the key to self-esteem, the key to happiness. Number two, what are your three most important goals in life? Whenever you're given only 30 seconds to answer that question, the three goals that the subconscious pops to your mind will almost invariably be the three most important concerns or goals that you have right now. This is a very revealing question, and you can give it to yourself and give it to other people. What would you do if you had 6 months to live? If you only have 6 months to live, it refers you back to your basic values. It tells you what you really value in life. And an important question is this, is that how much of your current life is consistent with what you would do if you only had 6 months to live? Would you spend more time with your family? If you would, are you spending more time with your family now? Remember, you never know when you only have 6 months to live. What would you do if you became an instant millionaire? Perfect question. That simply asks you, what would you do if you had all the time and money in the world? What would you do if you had no fear of failure and no fear of rejection? What would you do if you were free to choose? If you had complete freedom to choose, the fact is that anything that you could write down as an answer to question number four, you can accomplish. You don't need $1 million. All you need to do is set it as a goal and make a plan and start working toward. You may not get it as fast as if you were a millionaire, but you'll get it nonetheless. Asking the question simply frees your mind. Question number five, what are you afraid to attempt? That may tell you what the self-limiting belief or block is that's holding you back from achieving your full potential. Question number six, what gives you your greatest feeling of importance? This is simply asked you, what gives you a feeling of self-esteem? And this will lead you unerringly to your area of excellence, because you will always and only become excellent doing what gives you a tremendous feeling of importance. And question number seven, what one great thing would you dare to dream if you knew you could not fail? Let me just say this as we close, that whatever you wrote as an answer to that question, whatever you wrote as an answer to the question, what one great thing would you dare to dream if you knew you could not fail, you can be, have, or do. The only question is, how badly do you want it? And are you willing to pay the price? Because if you are, and you're willing to pay the price and work toward it, you can accomplish everything on that list, and sometimes far faster than you can possibly imagine. The question is, how badly do you want it?
Session 16, 12 Steps to Goal Achieving.
One of the wisest men I ever met gave me a success secret some years ago that made a real impression on me, and it was simply this. He said one of the most important things he found in 50 years of research was the need to use proven success methods. He said, your life is too short to try to reinvent the wheel or to learn it all by yourself. So the smartest thing that you can do is what is called creative imitation, which is to go out and find what other people have done that works and do what they do until you get it to the point where you really know it well and then improve upon it. What I want to tell you about in this session is a proven success method. It's a 12-step method for goal setting and goal achieving, which I've taught to over 100,000 people. I've had many men and women come back to me and say they've accomplished more in a month with this program than they have in a year without it. I've had people who've accomplished more than 2 or 3 years than they'd accomplished in 10 or 20 years using this very simple methodology. It is a proven success method. I urge you to try it. I urge you to use it, incorporate it into your life, use it as an automatic process, and whenever you start thinking about your direction, your meaning, your purpose, where you want to go. Sit down and work it through these 12 steps until it becomes automatic. Remember, the ability to set goals and to make plans for their accomplishment is the master skill of success, which can only be learned through practice and repetition over and over and over again. Now, let's go to the board and let's talk about these 12 steps. Step number one, starting point of all success. And by the way, let me step back just for one second. We talked a little bit earlier about the importance of the major definite purpose, your major definite purpose, the major goal, the number one goal in your life. And many people come to me and write to me and phone me and they say, how do I pick my major definite purpose? And the only solution I can give you is go through the 7-step goal setting exercise, which we did in the previous session. And also, if you can't come up with it then, make it your major definite purpose to find your major definite purpose. Dwell upon your major definite purpose. Ask yourself, what could it be? What should it be? What will it be? What ought it to be? And keep running this over and over in your mind. Seek information, look, discover, and you will find that with the inexorability of a law of nature, that your major definite purpose will come to you, and it'll be so clear, so obvious, so right, and it will happen in exactly the right time. We'll discuss that when we talk about the superconscious mind a little bit later. But for now, if you don't have a major definite purpose, make finding your major definite purpose your major definite purpose. And when you do find it, run it through this exercise the same way you would run something through a computer to get an answer out the bottom. Step number one in goal setting is desire. And the more intense the desire, the more burning the desire, the more you want something, the more likely it is that you will accomplish it. As a matter of fact, it's been said over and over again that burning desire is the starting point of all great accomplishment. Why is that so important? Well, burning desire is the desire that drives you ahead over all the difficulties, disappointments, temporary failures, obstacles, because if your goal is worthy of you, you're going to fall on your face over and over and over again. You're going to make mistakes. It's going to cost you money. It's going to cost you time. It's going to cost you anxiety. As a matter of fact, if you're not laying in bed at night staring at the ceiling with your heart pounding at least 3 nights a week, you're probably not trying hard enough. So, burning desire is the starting point of all great goal attainment. Now, burning desire is always personal. It's always personal. Which means that when it comes to setting goals, whatever the goal is, it has to be your goal. You cannot want a goal for someone else, and someone else cannot want a goal for you. When we talk about desire, make it personal. Somebody says, I want to get a raise at my job. That's my goal. That's setting a desire for your boss. I had a young man say to me, I want to marry this particular girl. That's setting a goal for the girl. Only you can set goals for yourself, but be very certain that the goals that you do set are yours, that the goals that you do set are ones that turn you on, not goals that somebody else wants for you or goals that you think you should do or you ought to do or they'd be good for you to do. Think through yourself and be perfectly honest. Be perfectly honest. Ask yourself, what is it that you want? Now, interestingly enough, it takes tremendous courage to be perfectly honest and perfectly selfish in goal setting. But if you are not perfectly honest at this stage and asking yourself what you really want, what is it deep in your heart you really want to be, have, or do, if you're not honest at this stage, the whole rest of the process falls apart. If you are honest at this stage, it's like a rocket launch. You can go there. From there, you can go anywhere.
Session 16 is continued on side 2. Please fast forward to the end of the tape.